Welcome to the final Bristol Bay Fisheries Report of the 2019 season. It was another huge year for the Bay. We had the second largest harvest in history at 43 million fish. The total run came to 56.3 million. Togiak broke its record for the largest harvest ever. Igigik and Nishigak saw some enormous hauls, and while Ugashik and the Kwijak were slow, the Naknek Kwijak district as a whole saw its third largest harvest ever. Let's take a look back at the 2019 season around the Bay. It's Friday, August 2nd. I'm Izzy Ross.
And I'm Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, we take a look at another record-busting season across the Bay.
Really strong run, well above forecast. I'm hearing really good things from folks.
We also talk about how the heat wave in July affected runs around the region. There are reports of fish that went belly up in Ugashik and Igushik.
These were like really bright fish that were like in the shallows, kind of twitching, unable to swim correctly. And like when the tide would go out, they would just be dead in the mud.
Ugashik's patience was tested during a late run that came in below forecast.
And we round things out with an update on bonuses from processors. Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to kick things off for the last time with a look at the numbers this season. Three districts had total runs over 17 million fish. In the final daily run summary, on the west side, Nishigak caught 3,000 fish on Wednesday for a total of 14.7 million. Escapement was 200,000 and the cumulative escapement was 3 million. The total run there was the largest in the Bay at 17.8 million fish. Togiak caught 27,000 fish on Wednesday. The cumulative harvest there is 882,500, the highest in the history of the district. Escapement was almost 16,000 for a total escapement of 297,300. The total run there is at 1.1 million. Over on the east side, the cumulative harvest in the Naknek Kwijak came to 11.4 million. Escapement for 2019 was 6.1 million, and the total run is at 17.5 million. In Igigik, the cumulative harvest is 14.9 million. That's the largest in the Bay this season. The cumulative escapement came to 2.3 million. That's a bit over the upper end of the escapement goal. And the total run was 17.2 million. That is about 9 million over the preseason forecast. Finally, in Ugashik, the cumulative harvest was 1 million. The escapement was actually larger than the harvest at 1.5 million, and the total run came to 2.5 million. That's the only district that came in below its preseason forecast, which was 3.3 million fish.
So now that we're at the end of the summer, we can take a look back and see how the actual numbers compare with the preseason forecast. We'll start with the actual Bay-wide run total, which was 56.3 million fish. That's actually a good bit higher than the forecast, 33% higher to be exact. The preseason outlook called for a run of 40.2 million fish, and that actual total makes this year's Bay-wide run the sixth biggest of all time.
It was a pretty impressive run across the Bay, but some districts set their own milestones. Igigik posted a total run of 17.2 million, which is the district's third biggest of all time. The Nishigak's total run of 17.8 million was the second largest ever, only getting beat out by 2017. And Togiak has a total run of 1.18 million, which is the third biggest ever, but as we'll discuss later in the show, there's reason to believe that number could keep going up.
Throughout the season, we've turned our attention to every part of the Bay. From Togiak to Ugashik, from Area M to Iliamna, there's been a lot going on in the region. And now that the season's coming to a close, Izzy and I are going to take a look around the Bay one last time to see how the season turned out. I'll get things started on the west side, where I talked to area management biologist Tim Sands for some of his takeaways on what turned out to be a record-breaking year. There were a lot of boats in the Bay, but he says there were plenty of fish to go around.
Really strong run, well above forecast. I'm hearing really good things from folks, you know, about how the catch was spread out more. You know, there are less big hits for people, and even though there was a lot of boats here, there was good fishing for everybody.
Yeah, the west side had a really solid year. We've had a few good years in a row now for the Nishigak, but how did Togiak do?
Togiak actually had its best year ever. This latest daily run summary showed them breaking a harvest record that was set all the way back in 1988, and Sands thinks they still have plenty more fish coming their way.
They're at 880,000. They broke the record they set last year of 867,000 harvest, and I'm optimistic that they're going to break a million harvest. It's going to be the best run ever in the Togiak District, and I think that's awesome.
So it was a really strong season for Togiak and on the west side overall, but there was definitely reason for concern in some parts of the district.
Right, with the extreme heat that we had in July, there were a few weird patterns in the fishery.
Exactly. It all has to do with the heat. Sands told me it was especially bad in Igushik, where hot water messed with the timing of the run and even led to a bunch of fish going belly up.
Well, certainly on the Igushik, it had an impact. It delayed our escapement. I mean, we had days of escapement with far less than 1,000 fish there, when normally we'd have tens of thousands of fish going up that river. And I got a video that somebody sent that shows thousands of dead fish, probably tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 dead fish in the Igushik River. The fish did go in the river, and they died.
Huh, right. We'd been hearing that, at least for the Nushigak, throughout the summer, but we hadn't gotten any firsthand confirmation until now.
Now, Izzy, I know you were pretty interested in the ratio this year, so I had to ask Tim about it.
What did he tell you?
Well, he said it was a big run, but also a big catch. In fact, fishermen were catching a higher percentage of fish than they usually do. I'll let him fill in the details.
Like I said, this is our second best harvest this year, but it's our third largest run. And that a lot of that goes to we caught a higher percentage of our fish. I just calculated this morning, we're like 83% exploitation. So 83% of the fish came back we caught in the commercial fishery.
So finally, I asked him about Port Moeller because, you know, we're always seeing the latest numbers from the test fishery at the transect, but we haven't really talked about whether or not those turned out to be accurate. So Tim has been keeping an eye on where, when, and how many fish show up on the west side of the bay, and he said Port Moeller did a pretty spot-on job of predicting all that.
I mean, I remember seeing certain Port Moeller numbers and saying, okay, we're going to have a good catch on this day, and I felt like it came right in line with that. And especially the offshore stations, I think the addition of the offshore test boat, stations 14 through 22 or whatever it is, I think that was very informational.
I'm all about Port Moeller. I talked to Scott Rayborn, an analyst at the Port Moeller test fishery. We've heard from him a few times this season, and this year the test fishery was out until July 17th. Rayborn said that fishing a week longer than usual showed them that there was still some tail to this run.
This year, we did stagger the vessels, but we got, you know, almost the entire season with two boats and fished the entire transect and found most of the fish, you know, migrating in the northern half of the transect.
He said that the inshore catches matched Port Moeller's numbers better than in previous years, largely because they were also fishing the entire transect.
We're sampling the entire run now, and in the past, catches dropped off in the test fishery. You don't know if the migration magnitude had dropped off or if the fish had just moved beyond the sampling stations. And so we could tease that apart this year, and it seemed to work quite well.
The test fishery was also more accurate because they fished a full week longer than usual and were able to better predict where those fish were headed. Now, looking at the east side, there were some big numbers as well. Joe Stewart is the beach boss for Alaska General Seafoods in Naknek.
It was a great season. Record number of fish, very steady, not the big balls and big waves of fish like usual. It's just every tide counted. And, there's a lot of fish. Fish and Game did a great job. Fishermen did a great job. Everything went really well.
That record number of fish referred to the over 18 million pounds of fish AGS processed this season. Another thing we talked about was the heat. Stewart said that during the hottest part of the summer, they had some trouble with their ice machines.
Yeah, you know, we need extra ice in the totes, extra ice in the bins, and we were working those things overtime. There was one point where we suspended buying, and that was actually because of the ice machines, mostly. We just took one tide off and got right back to it.
And I got to assume that they were not the only processors that had to battle the heat to keep those fish cool, right?
That's right. I spoke to the fleet manager for Ocean Beauty Seafoods, John Bresinger. Ocean Beauty has a plant in Naknek, and they also operate a floating processor in that district. They normally provide ice to the tenders to sell to the fleet, but Bresinger said that for a few days during the heat wave, they stopped doing that because they were using all the ice they had. He said that he has never seen temperatures that high before, and ice barges, RSW boats, everyone was struggling to keep the fish cold.
Yeah, it was a hot year. Now, Egigik hauled in its third largest harvest in the history of the district. The largest harvests are 21.6 million in 1993 and 15.6 million in 1992. Did he say anything about the fish they got from that district?
Yeah, so in Egigik, he said there wasn't a lot of compression this season. The fish spread themselves out through the duration of the run, and there weren't a lot of drop-downs and hiccups, and Bresinger said they had consistent deliveries coming in on every tide from Egigik and didn't have any trouble handling that volume. He basically said it was a good year to be a fisherman in Egigik.
And I'm taking a look at the Naknek-Quijak district. Naknek actually passed the upper end of its escapement goal.
Yeah, Bresinger said the fleet had nets in the water every tide. Ocean Beauty did wrap up a little earlier this year. The final boat has left the base of the Ocean Beauty dock. Last year, they bought through August 3rd. This year, they were done on July 27th, so that's like a full week earlier. And that's largely due to the fact that the Quijak didn't come in as hoped. He said that Port Mahler had suggested, both from catch and genetic studies and samples, that they might see more fish in the Quijak later in July, and that river did meet its minimum escapement, but he said the Quijak really didn't turn up as anticipated this year.
Now, switching gears a little, you also talked to a set netter over in Naknek, right?
Yep, Melanie Brown has been fishing on the north side of the Naknek for about 40 years on her great-great-grandfather's set net site. She fished for nearly a month straight this season, and she really reiterated what we heard from the processors. Really steady run on the east side. I caught her as she was traveling to Salmon Fest yesterday afternoon.
Every time we went out, it was worth our time, and it was the kind of poundage that added up. Over the course of the summer, it added up to a good season. And I think in a lot of ways, that's probably the best season anybody could ask for.
Now, the heat didn't pose much of a problem for them, but Brown said she'd heard from tenders that the water was really warm, which may have shaped how the run moved in the river.
The fish, instead of traveling in shallower water close to the shore, were seeking out colder water. And they were shooting up the south channel in the Naknek, where the water is deeper and colder.
She said they did have a few really big tides.
When we're getting like 25-foot tides, the fish just kind of rush past our gear or above our gear. But the nice thing about that was that we were getting really good ebb fish when the tide would turn and the fish would back out with the tide. So that was something that we don't normally get, too, that we were experiencing this year.
Ugashik had a really late run that came in about a million below forecast, but the district actually surpassed its upper-end escapement goal of 1.4 million for a total escapement of 1.5 million fish.
That's right. Curry Cunningham is a biologist with the University of Washington, and we talked with him about age composition earlier this week. He said that talking to Fish and Game here in Nooshigak District, there were some similarities between the Ugashik and Igushik runs.
In the Ugashik River, as well as the Igushik River, you can have temperature conditions with these warm water conditions we saw this summer and high temperatures. They can act as a thermal barrier to upstream passage. So fish entered the Ugashik River, stayed, and did not move past the tower until later in the season. So I think that in part caused some of what we saw in terms of the very late arrival timing to the Ugashik District as a whole.
Things started to pick up dramatically in the second half of July, and on July 21st, the district made up half of its total escapement to that date. Cunningham said those big escapement numbers suggest that fish had already entered the district but were waiting to swim upriver until the water had cooled.
Temperatures this year have been extreme, to say the least. At our field camp on Lake Leknagik outside Dillingham, the usual nearshore surface temperature at our facility is somewhere around 10, 12 degrees, maybe 13 degrees, 14. At one point, we measured 21 degrees off the dock right there on July 5th, which is extreme, to say the least.
Now, that wait was hard on Ugashik fishermen. They had an 11-day closure in July, and once things cooled down, the fish came through. Birch Block has set net in Ugashik for 7 years, and he says this is the first year he's seen more escapement than catch.
And I think they had like a 200,000 count at the tower, and that was up from like 6,000. They had like a 200,000, a 300,000, and I think they even had a day where they counted almost 500,000 fish all in a row. So somehow in like this short span of time, there was like 1 million fish that went through the bay into the river.
Block and his crew also saw hundreds of dead fish washed up on the beach this summer. They're not sure of the reason, but he says he thinks it's because of the heat.
These were like ocean bright. These were like really bright fish that were like in the shallows, kind of twitching, unable to swim correctly. And like when the tide would go out, they would just be dead in the mud. Every low tide, every time it went out, there was a bunch of just ocean bright dead fish that weren't making it up the river.
Ugashik fishermen who stuck around seemed like they did all right, but this was one of the latest runs ever there. And Block says the change from the days of inactivity to the sudden push of fish was pretty dramatic.
Going from 30 boats to 300, I think, in the course of 3 or 4 days when everybody thought they'd come down and get a big second season down here, and then it just dropped off really quick.
That late push of fish in Ugashik meant that fishermen who waited were still able to have a decent season. Block says there's one buyer and there are still a few fishermen setting nets and drifting in the district.
Support for KDLG comes from Grundon's new Deck Boss footwear, designed for comfort. More about the Deck Boss lineup of slip-ons, sandals, and boots at grundons.com.
It's the end of the season, and most processors have been shutting down peak operations and busing home their workers over the past couple of weeks. And here at the beginning of August, do we have an update on prices so far this season?
We sure do. Icicle is paying $1.35 for sockeye and 40 cents for chum. For drifters fishing for Icicle, there is an 8-cent bonus for bled sockeye in RSW only, 15 cents for sockeye chilled in ice or RSW, and a 5-cent premium for floated fish. For set netters, there is also a 15-cent bonus for chilling. We have an update from fishermen fishing for Silver Bay Seafood, a $1.35 base price, 25 cents for RSW and floating, and 12 cents for bleeding and mats or slide. We have some updates from fishermen fishing for Leader Creek as well, a $1.35 base with bonuses for bled, RSW floated, and mats or slide, those bonuses adding up to 27 cents. AGS has posted a $1.35 base, and we've also heard from fishermen for Red Salmon, Peter Pan, and Ocean Beauty, who have all posted a base price, according to these fishermen, of $1.35. We don't have anything from Copper River yet, and Trident wouldn't comment. We haven't been able to reach E&E for comment either.
So how do those numbers compare to the prices we got last year?
Sure. So last year's Baywide average price for sockeye was $1.56 after bonuses. And for king, it was 80 cents. For chum, 36 cents. And silvers, 80 cents. Last year's wholesale prices, fresh headed and gutted sockeye, $4.13. Frozen headed and gutted sockeye, that was $3.87. And the gross profit of $2.57 per pound for fresh, or $2.31 per pound for frozen. Last year's Baywide ex-vessel value was $344 million for just over 250 million pounds of fish, or almost 50.6 million fish.
Well, that about wraps things up for this show and the 2019 Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. So instead of our usual messages to the fleet tonight, we'd like to send out a message of our own.
I'll get started. I can't tell you how great it's been to work on the fish report this summer. Thank you to each and every fisherman, processor, biologist, manager, everyone who's given us their time and insight and helped make this show happen. To everyone listening back home, wherever that might be, thank you for all your amazing messages to the fleet. I also just want to say thank you to the people in the studio who made this report possible, our general manager Sam Gardner, to our interns Kaylee Lopez, Abby Whitcomb, and Kendra Kapotik. Thank you to Marilyn Rosine and Marjorie Dunaway for all of your help with the fund drive. Big thanks to Tyler Thompson for covering local news single-handedly this summer. Finally, a huge thanks to Sage Smiley, our fish reporter in Naknek, for dealing with spotty internet and phone service to get us that East Side perspective.
Like Izzy said, it's been such an honor to be part of this fishery for a summer, and I cannot thank you enough for tuning into our show every night. Whether you've been tuning into the AM station on your boat or listening online from anywhere in the world, thank you. Even my parents listening on the East Coast who don't know a lick about salmon fishing. I've learned a ton this summer and had a lot of fun along the way. My next stop is going to bring me to Aspen Public Radio in Colorado, but I will never forget the adventures, people, and fish reports that were part of my summer in Bristol Bay.
And, of course, I'll be sticking around. For anyone who wants to get in touch, you can reach out at fish@kdlg.org or give us a call at 842-5281. For our last fishing song of 2019, we have Call on Home by Bristol Bay's own Emma Hill. I'm Izzy Ross.
I'm Alex Hager.
Good night, good fishing, and see you back here next year.
Seem to